Well, as a primate.
And when it comes to a lot of stuff about afterlife and all that kind of thing, I'm not...
Oh, well, there's a lot of evidence for that, whether you believe it or not.
You should investigate, then.
Don't close your mind on it, Ivan.
I will not close my mind.
Don't say that one person should have to read a subject because it impinges on his life, and then turn around and say that you should not have to read a subject because it impinges on your life.
Divaricating.
Either be consistent on this subject or else drop the whole thing.
I am not... I've never set myself up to be an expert on anything connected with the afterlife. Therefore, I will not
except on what people should read.
But an astronomer sets himself up to know what's in the sky, and it's up to him to read everything that's about it as far as he can. And there's too much to read in this day and age. But the person should keep himself informed and not turn his back on it. It's his speciality.
Well, I would like to express a single opinion. And thank you, Long John. I've been bursting over here. That is this: that if an astronomer says, "No, I'm not interested in flying saucers," okay, I will not say you have to read it. I personally think you should, but what I object to is when the astronomer says, "I'm not interested, I don't believe, and everybody's crazy to please them." And the example that I would like to quote is the one about the French cave paintings, or I think the first cave to be discovered was in Spain, wasn't it, Altamara? And a child, a couple of children got into the underground cavern here, and they came back with these reports of these animals. Well, the man who owned the property, he owned an old cap, he was some sort of a decayed Spanish lord, a very nice man, I gather, went down and saw these things and was very much impressed by them. Yes, prejudice. And he started to publicize them. He got one anthropologist to come and look at them, and this anthropologist was very much interested, and he went and spoke to a meeting of scientists. And they all disbelieved him. They said those things can't possibly be as old as they say they are. They must have, somebody must have snuck in and painted those walls when nobody was looking. Even though the child had had a hard time getting in, it was still hard to get in the cave, but they'd just been painted because the paint was still kind of sticky and, you know, felt fresh. So the man who owned the castle invited a whole flock of these scientists to come and see the caves for themselves. And the great day came, he was going to have his convention. Nobody showed up, and it was something like 20 years before another anthropologist would even come and look at those caves, even though now so, of course, those are prehistoric cave paintings. But this is the attitude I cannot understand, which is that they will express an interest and express an opinion about it, a negative opinion, before they've been to look at it. Now, I don't happen to be very much personally interested in life after death, and I haven't studied the evidence for survival. But I don't sit around and dogmatize one way or another about it because I don't consider that I'm competent to discuss it. I have not studied it. But on UFOs, people who have not studied the data, who are not familiar with the reports, though they may claim to be familiar with it, will tell you flatly just what somebody saw in France on October 10th, 1954, whether they have ever really read the report or studied it or not.
Let me interrupt for just a moment to take care of a little business here. We've been talking with the people who have been kind enough to join me about the possibility of little men arriving on this planet from other planets. Of course, we've talked with so many people on the party line about flying saucers, or some people prefer to call them UFOs. But I think anybody who's a regular listener to the party line will certainly agree with me when Ivan Sanderson, the noted zoologist, comes in front of these microphones and tells us that he believes that there is a possibility of little men. Well, it's something that I think would make you sit up and listen and start to think about it. I know I'm going to do that. And, of course, we're discussing a new book that was translated by Isabel Davis and Lex Mebbin. It was written by Amy Michelle, and it's entitled Flying Saucers and the Straight Line Mystery. The publisher is Criterion. And then, brash boy, I know that you've attempted three or four times during the last hour to get a word or two in.
That was a stretch.
So possibly you have something that will excite all of our Philadelphia listeners.
You know, when you say that, I get a mental picture of 100 hands reaching for 100 telephones to call up Western Union.
Are there 100 telephones in Philadelphia?
They have a special deal with the AT&T.
Because I happen to like Philadelphia. I spend a considerable amount of time there.
Ben, my publisher is
in
Philadelphia.
Right?
I love Philadelphia.
It's becoming a very beautiful city.
Well, your publishers are in Philadelphia, aren't they?
That's right.
Yes.
I don't like all these insults at Philadelphia.
Oh, it's a nice town.
Of course it is.
When were you there? When were there last?
I don't know, several months ago.
They cracked the Liberty Bell.
Ben? Well, I really don't know what to believe. It seems to me, I've been hearing Lester and Ivan go at it with heavy tongs. And
light artillery thing.
It seems to me that there's quite a amount of difference as to, you know, just skepticism and, you know, proof and evidence and all the rest of it. Now, you brought up something, Lester, that I think was completely erroneous, or something that Ivan was disinterested and blind to the nature of the problem of life after death. There's such a thing as posing unposable problems. If someone came to me frankly and said, "What do you think of life after death?" My only honest answer would be, "I don't know what you're talking about." I mean, the question of combining in that sentence two terms which are diametrically opposite is to me to pose an imposable problem. I mean, death is the absence of life. What do you mean by the absence of life after the absence of life? It also would be quite the same thing if someone came to me and said, "What do you think is the spiritual basis of life?" Right away, the person has asked a question that cannot be answered because he's already presupposed a great many things that, as far as I'm concerned, have no meaning. Now, if the person were to say something quite different, it would be something that can be answerable. Now, to bring up questions like that are in one realm that are probably and properly, not the pursuit of scientific investigations, because these are imposable problems. They cannot be posed in any sort of intelligent fashion, certainly not for scientific investigation. But if someone brings up the idea about there are things flying around up there are various reports, this is not a metaphysical problem, this is not an unposable problem, it's not even spiritual. Now, I believe that if someone says that, you know, golden-haired Venusian girls came out of a saucer and all the rest of it, you know, my nose turns up, too. But if someone tells me that there are a number of strange things going on in the sky, and these things are quite inexplicable, and they've been going on for several years, and there have been several reports of all kinds of people reporting these, highly trained observers, highly untrained observers, people who don't even look at things, farmers, merchants. I even saw something in that book about the actress Michelle Morgan seeing one on the streets of Paris.
That convinced you?
No, it didn't convince me. Now, if you have all these different anomalous observations, as someone once put it, and you have all these different things going on, there is or there isn't something flying around up there. Now that leads, this is the question, is there or isn't there something flying around up there? It also comes out when you see a book presented, although I admit the mathematical terminology is to me completely strange, that comes out with the theory that these things that are flying around up there happen to behave in certain fashions and follow along certain straight lines, which they call orthostatic lines or something. This is already making the unknown slightly more knowable. It is something that is coming out. I mean, these things may be anything. They may be what Ivan threw on an idea. They may be some sort of space flight. They may be machines. They may be nothing at all. They may be blurry hazes in the skies. But they seem to have one. There's something that you've actually maybe have pinned down. This is an idea about it. But this is something that is properly open to investigation. Now, the percentage of what is known as against what is known is so incredibly and hugely large as to make you almost shudder. And there's a certain kind of skepticism that must be prevalent in the investigation of anything, but there's a certain kind of skepticism which is not skepticism, it is a process of putting blinders on yourself. And
I just heard you use that as a matter of fact, Sam. I heard you use that on the subject of life after death.